You and all the other bastards lucky enough to be here, children of sin, spawn of the damned, are all named for saints. Saints who were disciplined. Saints who were chaste. You are named for John Baptist Rossi, a Capuchin priest who gave away all his possessions.
We purified by our kisses are eternally healed. This is Film Sack. Oh, sure.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to Film Sack. This is Film Sack, episode 284, mining the very depths of film entertainment for all mankind. My name is Scott Johnson, joined today by Brian Catholic Food Cage Dunaway.
Food Cage.
Yeah.
Oh, hi. This week, I thought I would try to predict three miracles that could elevate this episode of Film Sack to sainthood. Saint Sack. Miracle one. Randy, I'm going to need you to stay within 140 characters on that Twitter post, man.
Not going to happen.
Miracle two. Not going to happen. Miracle two. Scott. No talking about Elizabeth Shue's feet or hygiene. I know her last name is Shue, so it's going to be tough. Miracle three. Ibbot. No clever Batman observations like how Bruce Wayne and Simon Templar were both orphans and were both played by Val Kilmer and got married in Vegas or some something something. Now saint me.
There goes my opening.
Saint me already.
Yeah, you should be a saint. The Saint Dunaway, the patron saint of what? I don't know what you do. What do you do?
Smartassery.
All right. I like it. Also with us, Randy, he always keeps his cocaine in his watch, Jordan.
Aloha, Scott. Brian. Did I ever tell you guys about the time I worked as a personal scientist for a former KGB boss?
No.
True story. This is a true story. This was when I was going through my middle-aged Crispin Glover phase. So I had, you know, greasy hair and ill-fitting glasses, and I constantly tried to look meek, but the fact of the matter is, what they didn't know about me was that I was a god scientist who could solve the puzzle of free energy for the world and save humanity. I just needed a few more minutes, man. Just buy me some time to be God and save the world.
I want to see Randy's Film Sack resume.
Yeah.
Work history.
I'd be into that.
I'd like to see that too. Somebody's got to be assembling that somewhere.
Someone somewhere. Also with us and rounding out the bunch, we have Brian, the Saint of Hypothermia Ibbot.
Today's movie is The Saint, starring Val Kilmer as a master of disguise who has to uncover and protect a secret formula and a beautiful scientist. It's like Fletch for people who didn't like Fletch because they found it too fun and entertaining.
I have never thought Fletch to too. Compare this movie to Fletch. That's freaking brilliant.
Yeah, that's pretty smart. That's basically
it's that,
it.
It's that scientist character with the buck teeth that's like, oh, yeah, that's straight out of Chevy Chase land right there.
Big time.
Oh, yeah, because he did all those little master in disguise things. So speaking of which, master in disguise, Dana Carvey also. But
have you ever noticed like there are some things that are ahead of their time and you're like, oh, wow, this would have been better if it had been made with later technology, this kind of thing. This movie's past its time. This movie would have been great in 1987 instead of 97.
You could maybe do it today. Like it's. They've done it. They've done fine with Mission Impossible. There's nothing wrong with taking another ancient thing based on an old show and an old character and an old book and making it feel fresh again and still having nods back to this stuff. But this is just a shit show. It is a terrible freaking movie. And look, I just want to get that out early because there are people.
I'm going to argue with you.
Mm-mm. All right. Give it to me, man. Yeah, no, you go ahead. You know what? Fletcher first. Fletcher first is always the rule. FF.
Fletcher first.
Yeah. And then when he's done talking, we'll come back. So here's this.
The Saint. Master Thief Simon Templar, played by Val Kilmer, eludes his pursuers by assuming the names of obscure saints. When a Russian politician hires Templar to steal the formula for cold fusion, he falls in love with Emma Russell, played by Elizabeth Shue, the frail Oxford scientist who unlocked the process's secret. Meanwhile, back in Moscow, Templar must decide whether to betray his new love or the madman who's paying him millions.
Yeah, that's your movie.
Okay, now here we go. Team Deluxe away. Shut up, Scott.
All right.
Oh, come on. All right, I need to hear why you guys think this. Because remember, I went into this very open-minded. I said I remember not really liking it when it came out, was kind of put to sleep, don't really remember much, so I will go in with a big open heart and mind, and I did, and I really, really hate it. Like, I dislike
you
this
hate
as
it?
Almost as much as some of the worst movies we've seen, and I don't know what that's about. I think it strikes me as super boring, cliched as anything we've ever seen, trope laying all over everyone's face in this. It's just...
And what's the problem?
It sucks. Right. It just sucks.
What is tropey about freeing food from a food cage? No. I mean, no trope there.
No, food cage trope.
Food cage.
I'm not saying it doesn't
happens
have...
Happens every movie.
I'm not saying it doesn't have its moments, and it certainly has its actors. I really like the guy that always plays a Russian crazy person or mean person.
His name is Rade Serbegia, but let's just call him the most interesting man in the world, shall we?
Yeah, it looks a lot like him. But, you know,
it's
not like there's not some nice ideas here or that or whatever, but in 97, were we really overdubbing everything to sound like Herbie, the freaking Love Bug movie? Like, everything sounded like shit. Nobody ever talked into a microphone and recorded that. It was all post-production. Like, I couldn't help notice all those things. Maybe it's because I had headphones on and I'm 3 inches from the screen and I'm capping audio or something, but it just, everything felt trite.
Yeah, I didn't pick that up.
I think there's maybe a particular style that was in this that you didn't care for. It was consistent,
of sound engineering?
Though.
Of what?
In general?
Yeah, well, for me in general. Like, it's not a good, I don't think it's a good spy movie. I don't think it's a good parody
it's
of a spy
not
movie.
A spy movie?
I think it would have been better if it was just cast with somebody else. I think the only problem really I had with it was Val Kilmer, because he was not.
But here's the thing. Here's the thing. And I've seen this movie 100 times, so I know it too well to. I know it too well to analyze it.
How many times in actual literal truth? How many times have you actually seen this film? Just curious. How many times? Like 10 times, 20 times?
I'm gonna say 35.
Holy shit.
Wow. Really?
That's way more than me. And as Philip Noyce would say, thanks for watching my movie. Because that's awesome. I've never seen it that many times.
Noyce.
I'll tell you, I wanna agree with Scott on one thing very strongly, and that is the sound editing in the production after they added the score is horrible, and it's a great score. I have the score. I love the score. It's Graeme Revell's best orchestral music, in my opinion. That's the best he's ever done in terms of standing in front of an orchestra and writing music with a big movie on a screen behind him. Mm-hmm. But then some moron decided to put some of the pop dance music that's used to put to background several scenes over the score, and it's just... that when that happens, I just want to claw my ears off.
Yeah, wasn't it? What was the song, Brian? Do you remember the music that was?
There were a bunch. I mean, there was Underworld. I think it was Born Slippy. There was Six Underground by Sneaker Pimps.
That's the
one. Smashing Pumpkins.
Smashing Pumpkins cover of "You're All I've Got," which you only hear for like one verse, not even like a quarter of a verse.
Mm-hmm. Some 90s ass shit though, right? Like some
90s. Yeah. Chemical Brothers, maybe?
This movie,
there was a Chemical Brothers song in there.
Yeah.
Movie definitely seemed like it was trying to be hip for the time.
Yeah.
I felt like it was just trying to be a little bit, that's to me is probably the worst part of the movie, is it trying to,
don't think it's the cold fusion story that sucked a donkey's butthole clean? You don't think it was that?
I actually,
you know what? Yeah, I'm gonna.
Clean. Wow.
I want to defend that. I feel like of all the things that they could have chosen to have this inexplicably brilliant scientist, you know, have a major invention on, this is the one that we're tantalizingly close enough to for the last few decades in reality that it feels okay to me. Mm-hmm.
I don't think we're anywhere near cold fusion.
You know, I think the reason why this particular tech was picked, or this particular advance was picked, is because it fit in with the idea of what kind of miracle could you create that would, you know, allow sainthood? I mean, what other tech really? I mean, what, the Nokia digital phone, the Nokia phone? Maybe that was the miracle that was going to be. No, you have to do something cool like cold fusion.
But that implies that the movie's really pro-Catholic, and I would argue this movie is like pro-not Catholic. Like it's like, ah, screw
no,
that.
No, it's not. No, they picked a theme which was sainthood, and they ran with it. I don't think they were pro-Catholic at all.
Yeah, and they weren't,
in my opinion.
No, absolutely not. That's my whole point. Is
especially with the priest with their huge napkin and the dogs. That was. Who has dogs at an orphanage?
Right, exactly.
Release the hounds!
Just in case we need to corral the orphans, we have dogs.
Yeah. Right.
You know, that first sequence is mixed results, and it kind of bugs me because, like, you have a priest kill a little girl.
Mm-hmm.
Holy cow!
He? Well,
yes,
right.
Did he kill that's her? The whole point of it.
Didn't they imply that Elizabeth Shue was either going down the same path or... was possibly
the girl,
the character that was supposed to have died.
No. Here's the deal. The way it was is, give me the kiss you promised me. All right, great. So they get up on the thing to do their dumb kiss. Those kids are terrible, by the way. Anyway, they're kissing, and up comes old man pissed off, and it makes Val Kilmer
pissed off.
Russian name.
Pissed off. Pistakov.
Vladimir pissed off.
He let go. So it makes Kilmer lose his grasp on his lady friend, and down she goes, and now he's got this horrible regret and, you know, blames everything about the orphanage on it and blah, blah, blah. That's what I came
up with.
But
don't they imply at the end when Elizabeth Shue is doing her final spiel, she says, orphans, bastards at best, which is kind of the quote from what the orphanage was preaching at the time. Wasn't that some kind of overlap?
Well,
I feel like they were trying to... They were trying to tease us with that idea.
Mm.
Wow.
If you want to go straight up allegory, you can make up this whole other story for this movie, but I don't think it fits very well.
Yeah, but now you say that's interesting because I hadn't really put two and two together. How does she even know those quotes? Unless there were some, you know, intimate conversations with her and Val Kilmer while he was freezing or whatever, where he spilled the beans on all the things that happened to that school, including the exact quote that the priest man made. That's weird. So maybe they meant it to be lightly intuitive, or maybe they screwed up and meant to have that as a sub-story and then later
I think the film is way more plain than that. She's a Rhodes Scholar. She's very smart. She, you know, she says some things here and there that really resonate with his character. That's all.
Okay. She's far too forgiving, by the way.
Yeah.
Oh.
She's far too forgiving. She's the worst at forgiving because this is the deal. If a guy fakes being a dude, is in your bed.
Well, like, no, he was a real dude.
That sentence confuses me.
Well, faked being a different dude, all right, with all the Fabio hair and the stupid accent and all this stuff, pretending to be somebody he's not, steals the plans for working cold fusion, which would literally change the world immediately and overnight if that ever actually happened. And... She's cool with it enough to the point. Like it kind of worked when she's talking to the cops. I'm like, oh, okay. She's starting to understand the impact of this guy as a shyster, and he's not who he is in all of these different cases. And man, he's not just the one guy. There's like 15 of them, and they're all named after saints. And she kind of has a look on her face like, yeah, I've been really victimized here, which she had been. Next time we see her, she's just walking up to him going, huh? Nice
she's
going
walking
over there.
Up to him in a bar in Moscow. I thought that was that's like one of the biggest reaches ever, that she would even ever see him again, much less fly to Moscow to
and
walk
find
up to
him and track
confront
him down.
Him.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. Here he is drinking. Mm-hmm. Just got
that's
lucky.
Way more unlikely than a lot of his machinations. Like it's just that thing. But it does give us an extended action sequence that lasts for the entire middle third of the movie.
Yeah. It was all right, I guess.
Great sequence.
Now, well, great, though, really, because some of this stuff.
Well, I thought it was fun. It drug me along. I had a good time.
All right, Brian Ibbett, I got to talk to you. We're going to have Brian Ibbett and I are going to talk for a second.
Yeah.
If by good
go
you mean,
down,
all right, I'll give you some examples. There is a very safe director stuff going on here as far as the action goes. When the dog is coming after the girl, or when they're kissing and they're about to get caught or whatever,
mm-hmm.
The way they handle that is they have a camera charging toward these kids as they just kind of hold their hands out and look at the camera with no expression on their face. I felt like the entire film, is directed like that, where it's the safe angle, it's the quick cut because it's easy. Like none of it felt good.
There's nothing difficult or clever or groundbreaking about this. It's a template of every other 90s action film. Mm-hmm. They just happen to say, well, let's, you know, flavor it like this old TV show.
Yeah. And to me, it strikes as what rhymes with Ben-geric? I think the word is generic is the word I'm looking for. It's super generic. Like, it's so generic that it puts me to sleep. Yeah. I'm with you on the score. I like Val Kilmer. I'm not going to complain about him. I think he's fine. I even think some of his disguises were pretty good.
I would not let him be my wingman anytime.
Okay, so after seeing this film. I just want to point out, A, you've seen all the Mission Impossible movies and all their clones since this movie was made.
Mm-hmm.
B, and I'm extending that to like all the Daniel Craig James Bond movies, et cetera, et cetera. You've seen all of these better movies that do a lot of the same stuff. Not necessarily the safe route. I disagree with that. Like, there's a stunt where a stuntman jumps off the top of a building and lands in a water bag, and it's supposed to be, you know, Red Square. Mm-hmm. That is freaking phenomenal. And it's,
yeah, but you just film, but you just film that. Let's just turn the camera on and film a guy jumping. I'm talking about like those fight scenes. Look, I could have done them. It was like It's just bad. It's the
but you know, but we were kind of. I mean, this is how far out after the original Batman. How far out were we beyond this?
Well, that was 89.
When was
so
the last Val Kilmer Batman?
That was a year. Kilmer that Batman? Was the year previous. Yeah, so right. He had just done it.
Yeah. Year previous. Okay, so now imagine visually how those movies and the style was at that time. I don't think this was that far off. I think this was a style of visual storytelling that was
shitty.
Common during that time. I wouldn't say it was generic, but I would say it was. You know, I don't think it was anything super groundbreaking.
It was the first time I'd ever seen that morph effect. And that's how they get from the first scene to the rest of the movie.
Oh, you didn't see that in the Michael Jackson video before then? Yeah.
I don't think so.
The black or white? Was that before this?
Black or white? It should have been prior to this. Yes.
97.
There are other morph examples, I'm sure of it. Sure. Whether they
but
were
I'm
done
saying,
as well, this was
that,
done pretty
well. Did
you
guys have that software at the time where you could make your own morph? Oh,
yes, I have that on my Mac Compacta Pro or whatever it was. Yeah.
Right.
You go see this movie in 97. This is something new. You're looking at it in 2016. Yawn. That is just not even a thing.
Well, then I was ahead of my time because I yawned in 97. I just thought it was dumb then. I thought I had wasted my money at the theater. Somebody tried to make me watch it on either VHS or DVD, I don't remember. And I remember falling asleep on the couch, just couldn't get into it. There's so much love for this movie. This is one of those times where I don't understand why I'm so on the other side. I don't know why I don't like it so much. And I'm willing to admit this could be entirely about me, my personality, and my approach to the material, but... Something about it just absolutely does not resonate with me and feels dumb.
How do you feel about Elizabeth Shue?
I like her a lot.
As attraction goes.
I think she's awesome.
I find her totally attractive.
I think she's attractive, but not only that, I think she's a really talented actress, and I don't know why there's not more of her in a more mainstream way even today. She's not, you know, she hasn't aged out of Hollywood. She'd be great, and I don't know why she's not around. She's the high point of the film.
CSI Las Vegas for years, yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Mm-hmm. Well, she's
just great, and she's the high point of the film for me, despite the fact that I don't like necessarily how her character's treated to be this sort of, well, like Fletcher said in the beginning, this frail doctor with, you know, a heart condition. Is just tropey as hell.
That's what made me think that it was that she was injured. That's what kept making me think, well, maybe, you know, she suffers some kind of injury, and I kept trying to see, it said dad in that one picture. So they imply that she did have a dad, but I was trying to figure out if she was adopted. I don't know. There seemed like little clues to me. I feel
so
like
you're thinking
that
she was
that
the girl
story.
From the orphanage at the beginning.
I definitely think that they were implying
she isn't. That.
That
girl was killed. Stop. I don't understand how you could have gotten that story from
well,
this movie.
Maybe it's because right. she maybe it's because she was brought up in the Catholic orphanage and she stated that, and she fell off. Or she knew the lines of that priest guy with the giant bib in his neck. She knew his lines exactly. Like, it seems like I'm kind of
eating lobster right before that scene, right? He was.
I'm kind of with Dunaway though. That maybe I'm not saying they did a good job of it. In fact, I'm saying they did a terrible job. But maybe just maybe that's what they were implying.
And
I think maybe there was an idea there that they were going to maybe execute, and they didn't.
And are you thinking that when she fell, she hurt herself, and the heart condition came from that injury? Is that what you're thinking?
Right.
All right.
Right. Yes.
All right. I'm not.
I've always felt that. Yeah. Ever since I saw this movie the first time, I got that impression.
All right.
Huh.
Okay, but let's come back around to Scott's criticism of the film, because I think the film has some pretty big mistakes in the script, and I want to give it credit though for making those mistakes honestly because of Val Kilmer. It follows Val Kilmer, the actor who was in things like Top Secret and Real Genius, and so the script tries to be fun. It tries to insert these almost comedic moments into what would otherwise be a plain Mission Impossible story. And Val Kilmer is really the only person I can think of pulling that off. He can't. I don't think anyone can really pull it off. But Val Kilmer, for example, if you put Tom Cruise in this, just imagine the train wreck it would be of him trying to be funny when it's appropriate.
Oh, but the runaway scenes would be amazing.
Yeah. Would they,
the running scene?
Him running away would be awesome.
Yeah, he's always good at those. That's his thing.
Oh, loves to run, yeah.
So this was pushed, I guess, and I don't know very much of the history of this, so people at home are going to have to forgive me, but the story is, and the character and all this stuff, is based on this old Roger Moore thing, which I guess was British television show. I don't know anything about it, never saw it, but Roger Moore was
my
the saint.
My stepdad used to watch it a lot.
Oh, yeah, yeah, and he's a British
It was a
dude.
Syndication. No, he's American. Dad is British, but stepdad wasn't, but he would watch this and Alfred Hitchcock Presents, and he was into all that old syndicated TV.
Mm-hmm. So Roger Moore was the big spearhead here, according to everything I can read, that he wanted to push to have this made into a film. He was past his prime, so he's like, well, we got to have somebody else do it. He's even the voice of the radio announcer at the end of the film. You can hear Roger Moore, and by all accounts, Roger Moore hates this movie. Thinks it went terribly. Nobody's happy with how it turned out. Like, he is super pissed about how it all went. And I don't know what that means other than to say, in different hands with different vision, I think I'd be fine with this. But Cold Fusion and Russian guys taking over the world and Russian this and Russian that, and the sun's got a cane for no reason that I can figure out.
Right, only so that you can identify him.
Yeah, exactly. Vamp, but even then, he barely hit anybody with it.
No, they specifically say he was just in a car crash that killed his brother.
Right, but
right,
he's
right.
not using. He's barely. He barely even puts it on the ground to use it to walk. Like, he's just flipping
it
around.
A poser.
That's because he started with it, and he's like, you know what? This cane makes me look pretty cool. I'm gonna get into some hip hop and some gangster rap and start using my Big Daddy cane.
It's fascinating when Brian Dunaway and I say the same thing, only he uses 100 words and I say 3. He's a poser.
All right, he's a poser.
And yet my Twitter posts stay within 140 characters.
Well, there's your limitation right there. Yeah. I will not be bounded by 140 characters.
All right. You can't be stopped. You can't stop the signal. You can't tie Brian.
140 characters can't hold me.
Anyway, yeah, so this movie's directed by a dude you've never heard of. His name is Philip Noyce. Noyce!
Noyce!
He's known for a bunch of things you do know, though. He directed the films. Let me pull these up here. Why can't I find him? There he is. Okay, Philip Noyce. He directed such films as the more recent Salt in 2010. I like Salt better than this. The Bone Collector, I didn't like. Patriot Games and Clear and Present Danger. Patriot Games was good. Clear and Present Danger was boring. I think anyway. Some other stuff like you might be familiar with Catch a Fire. Let's see. Where's the one I saw before this? That was Patriot Games, Blind
Dead
Fury.
Calm.
Yeah, Dead Calm. That's the other one I was thinking of. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So anyway, you know his work. He's been working.
Yeah, it's weird when you name that many films I've seen, but the name doesn't mean anything to me.
No. But Philip Noyce, there's your... I can't say Noyce without thinking nice. I really can't do it.
Noyce.
Yeah, I really can't do it. So the voice of the radio announcer at the end of the film I said was Roger Moore, so I told you guys about that. Apparently this movie was originally... Okay, here's one of those IMDb things I always call bullshit on, but here it is anyway. George Clooney, Kevin Costner, Johnny Depp, Daniel Day-Lewis, and Arnold Schwarzenegger were all turned down the role of Simon Templar.
Yes, right. The list always includes Arnie. Like,
always.
He's just That they you call him first for anything. You know what? We're thinking about making a new procedural emergency room hospital show on TV, Arnie. We call you first.
Yeah.
But I would have loved, Arnie would have been great to try and see him do any of these other voices in this film because he can.
Think about the impersonations.
Can you imagine?
This is my Australian accent. I'm taking this microchip back to the.
See him with a with a big mustache.
Guns make me nervous.
Hello, mate. Yeah.
I will put shrimp on the Barbie with your face.
George Clooney, Kevin Costner, Johnny Depp, none of them would strike me as good either. The only person on this entire list, if it's true at all, would be Daniel Day-Lewis, who can inhabit pretty much anyone. So I could see him doing it.
We didn't know at the time that Johnny Depp had this in him. We found out later. Mm. At the time, I'm shocked at the Johnny Depp name.
I'm not surprised. I'm surprised he's... Listen, he's in a toilet right now. I don't mean literally in a toilet, but his career...
Even the Mordecai movie?
It wasn't good. That was a bad movie.
Yeah, I think
movie.
That's part of the... That's got the finger on the flesher.
Yeah.
That Mordecai movie.
It's a bad movie. So is... I think that more recent one where he's a mobster guy, that Iceman Cometh guy.
Oh, yeah.
Holy crap. I have to stand up for Johnny Depp as a character actor?
Yeah,
what
do it.
What is going on?
Hey, listen. I want you, Randy Jordan.
I'm with Randy.
Friend and co-host of the show.
His choices lately. That's really what...
Yeah.
What,
I need you to defend his Lone Ranger business. Can you defend that here in court? I'll allow it.
Of course. He was the best thing in the film.
Holy shit. I'm going to have to...
He's the only great thing in the film. And and you know what? I mean, I feel so bad for Armie Hammer because he's in this horrible train wreck of a movie. Literally train wreck of a movie. And he's got this script that means nothing. No one can, understand it, much less enjoy it. And there's Johnny Depp just playing it up, pure ham bone character actor. Like I'm saying, in '97, we didn't really know that. We hadn't seen Captain Jack Sparrow yet.
No, we'd only seen him in Tim Burton business, I think, pretty much up to that point, right? We had Edward Scissorhands. Geez, what else?
A Nightmare on Elm Street.
Nightmare on Elm Street. That's right, because he played the jockhead, right?
He gets sucked into the waterbed.
Oh, right. Yeah, that was way earlier, too. But like by 97, I don't know what. It's a very good point. But if you're going to sit here and tell me that him acting like Jack Sparrow in an American Indian costume is good, I am going to fart blood and then serve it to my grandma.
I'm with Randy. It was at least entertaining.
It was the best thing in the movie.
It was embarrassing.
This is like saying the marshmallows are the best thing in the sweet potato. They are.
All right. If your point is that he's not the worst thing in the movie, I'll give you that. That movie was terrible.
The marshmallows, they aren't nutritious. If you eat too much of them, you're going to hate yourself tomorrow, but they're the best thing going.
I want to make something really clear here, because clearly I'm on, I don't know where, I don't think it's divided right down the middle, but I'm in some sort of potential minority on not liking The Saint.
I'm with you on it.
So let's say
you're if you're at 90%, I'm at about 70%.
Sure, but let's say you and I are like two of out of every 10 people don't like The Saint. I am perfectly willing to admit that there's something that they all love about it. It's totally legit. You're 100% right to like it. I just want to make that clear, because usually when this happens on the show, I get email inundation, people pissed at me. Because they think that I'm trying to say they shouldn't like it. Absolutely not. You all should like it. I can take Randy. I can take Randy a little more to task, because he and I are pals and we can do this on the show. But like for anybody else out there who thinks I'm saying you have to hate The Saint like I do, that is not what I'm saying. I'm just trying to ease the inbox a bit this week.
I think this movie has something that we complain about. Other movies not having, which is joy. A lot of movies that we review, sometimes they'll have zero joy. This movie to me is upbeat and positive just about throughout the whole movie.
That's true.
Except for the part where they try to kill the girl at the beginning.
Mm-hmm. Well, that was a little dark. Girl,
whichever way you see it.
Yeah.
Right.
Or give her a heart condition.
Back to that, there's a lot of joy.
But I think the one thing that kind of takes a little of joy out of this film is Val Kilmer. I mean, I think that he's given a few like funny lines, like, oh, I love this country, when the window kind of swings open without him having to unlock it. But even when he's, doing like a funny character like that, the old bald scientist with the buck teeth and the It even feels like that's forced and no fun. Yeah. I don't know. It sucks the sucks the joy. I'm trying to think of who I would have rather seen. Certainly not any of the people that they named as almost starred in this film.
Yeah.
But
yeah, because you need someone who can first of all do a bunch of different like
believable
ethnic characters.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
That's really hard.
Yeah, I agree. And he's not terrible at those. I don't know. There's something when I like him best, it's like in Heat, where he's not the main character. He's an interesting mm-hmm. side thing. He's kind of quiet and grumpy, and he's great in that. That's a great thing he's in.
Right.
I've never liked him in a starring role. I don't know what it is. Just can't do it. When's his best work? Oh, probably Tombstone. Why? Because he's not. He's a secondary character. He's not main dude.
Okay,
he's incredible in that movie.
I wonder if we're also split on Real Genius, because that movie made me so happy for so long as a kid.
I don't remember.
Oh, I love Real Genius.
I don't remember Real Genius at all. I should watch that again. Yeah, I don't remember.
Yeah,
I know I've seen
should.
It. I've seen it, but I don't remember it. Like,
what
happened?
Did you see Weird Science? I mean, that was kind of like a...
It was, yeah.
Those movies during that time.
They were
if
both...
If your TV got a UHF channel in 1990, you could watch Real Genius every Saturday.
Right.
Every Saturday.
Yeah, I mean, it's still one of those things that they throw on HBO or Cinemax or something every once in a while. And if I stumble on it, I leave it on no matter what point in the movie it's on, because it is such a fun...
That's been my experience with The Saint. It's a movie that's just come at me over and over and over, and I always watch it. And I think what Scott's kind of asking is, why do you like it? Like, you know, Scott didn't find something that he made him say, I like the movie. And for me, it's because I'm such a sucker for this fractured Russia, all the people gathering, they're going to put you on trial in Red Square. You need to agree to everything you're accused of. The president of Russia does. Everyone turns on freaking the most interesting man in the world. The music swells. There's a literal beam of freaking light and energy going straight. I am such a sucker for that. And I think I wouldn't have gotten that, by the way, if I was seeing this for the first time in 2016. There's no way. I would have been so cynical about it.
Mm-hmm. Right. How dangerous is cold fusion? I mean, because they were all standing around that like it was warming them. You know what I mean? And I'm like, back up, man.
Yeah. I mean, well, first of all, the depiction of it is just complete nonsense. It's just, it's nothing even the theories that are out there. It's just stupid.
Dumbed down for American audiences, basically, or for movie audiences.
For everyone, really. Like anyone who has anything, any knowledge of fusion or the Hadron Collider thing or any of the stuff that's going on in molecular level, sort of quantum physics or any of that, they look at this sort of thing and just go, you couldn't have come up with a better plan, like a better idea, you know, maybe he had a nuke or something, or just change your story. It's a dumb story premise. It just is dumb. And I know part of it is them, it's of the time. Like, it was the 90s when everybody was saying, oh, we may have finally figured out cold fusion. It all ended up being bullshit. Like, it's dumb.
Can I wrap it in a trope for you?
Yes, wrap it. Hold on, let me play this for you. You may have heard it before.
He's an American, ultimately. She's an American. She's working at Oxford, but she's clearly an American. The people who are pursuing them are British. This is a Westerners go in and save the East kind of story. This is a horrible trope. This is the kind of thing that it makes me cringe. Imagine being, I don't know, Chinese and watching this movie. Like, ugh. Once again, the Americans will save the day.
Riding on their horse and save the day.
I do think about that. I'll think when I'm watching a movie and I'm like, oh wow, this is so America centric, and I'm almost embarrassed for the rest of the world to see this.
Well, don't worry. I don't think any of them give three shits about the Saint. I don't think they care about the Saint over there. Nobody watches the Saint.
You know what? Whenever I talk about the Saint and Val Kilmer and movies that people like about Val Kilmer, usually I find the greatest passion for The Saint and the movie At First Sight. I know people love that movie.
Wait, explain.
I love this movie.
Explain what that is.
That one.
Yeah, I don't know.
It seems like him as a romantic lead kind of thing, kind of interesting, was is what people usually like Val Kilmer.
Well, we're doing.
That I have.
We're that's interesting because wait, you're talking about Val Kilmer again, though, right? He's in that.
Right. Right.
Oh, okay.
He's the primary. He's the lead.
Oh,
in,
okay.
At First Sight with Mira Sorvino.
Okay, so you're saying that, but I mean, is it similar in the sense that, you know, Deep Impact and Armageddon are similar? Is that kind of thing?
He's charming. No, it's not like similar in story wise. He's playing Val Kilmer, being charming and just I don't know that charisma that he has.
Mm-hmm. He plays well. Blind guy.
Yeah.
And see, right. for my money, Val Kilmer's best when he's the coolest guy in the room. When he's Doc Holliday, when he's real genius, that's when he really shines.
Nick Rivers Top Secret.
Oh, right. Yeah. He was great in that. Top Secret's great.
Yeah.
Look, whatever. Even as Iceman, he's a total dick, but he's the dick we needed.
He's the coolest guy in the room.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, I liked him.
He's
in the new one, by the way. I still wonder how they're going to do that. Are they just going to be the old Tom Skerritt types that are sending the young bucks out to fight or something, like Iceman and Maverick?
So.
I hope so too. I hope he's behind some desk looking like a bloated fish, just telling people what to do.
There really aren't. There's not a call for War Machine movies anymore. Like there was a Battleship movie a few years ago, but that was like the end of it, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, right. You don't see that pride in American military equipment much anymore. You don't see that.
Well, let's think. Machine. Is there? I would argue. Well, it's a World War II movie, so maybe it doesn't count. But Fury was all about tanks. In World War II.
Right. That was a look back, really. I mean, that wasn't like a modern look.
Well, how about that sniper deal with the Bradley Cooper sniper movie?
Again, that's I'm drawing a distinction between people doing things and the the celebration of war machines.
Right. Actually, like being on a battleship or
it's like the last hour of of Stripes is all about that stupid RV.
That's stupid. Oh, I forgot about that. That was such a great movie.
It's such a great movie until the last hour. I stand by my statement. That first hour is incredible. One of the best comedies ever made. The last hour sucks. Donkey wieners.
And the first hour and the last hour overlap by a good 20 minutes.
Yeah. It's
They do.
I hadn't really thought of it that way, but you're right.
But I just want to say again, Scott, did you feel nothing for all of that swell of humanity in the climax of this film?
No, I felt like it all fell flat and fake to me. It didn't feel real. It didn't even feel James Bond real. It just felt
dumb. Is it because you hate Russians deep down inside and you wish they'd all freeze to death?
No, I love Russians. They're great. The Russians are the best. And let me state more time for the record. The actor who plays the Russian guy who was running for president and also had the successful book, the main mean guy, the kid's dad.
Rade Serbedjian.
I watch him read a phone book. I freaking love that guy.
He is amazing in this film.
Yeah, he's really good. He's good in everything. I don't, name like the Taken movies. He's in those, or at least one of them. He was on 24 at least twice. He's just always a guy who's got his finger on the nuke and it's from a now broken Soviet system and he's gone rogue. He's amazing in all of those roles. He's from Croatia, which is funny, but anyway.
This film has a sequence of vignettes, and the one where he and Val Kilmer's character meet each other for the first time is in a coffee cafe in a metro station in Germany. Mm-hmm. And Val Kilmer is in drag and pretending to be, he's not really in drag. He's just transing it up, and he's pretending to be an extremely metrosexual Northern European type. And the interplay between the two actors just makes me so happy. I love how much they're both enjoying that.
It's a little Priscilla Queen of the Desert for me, though. It's a little too out there. Like it's more of a mocking portrayal of whatever that guy's supposed to be, and less. Like it just came off as Halloween to me. So if I was the Russian guy, I wouldn't have fallen for it. I just would have gone, okay, this guy's faking this.
Well, he didn't fall for it, did he? He was having fun with the game, right?
Yeah, he even says to his son, "Watch and learn."
All right.
Right. Yes, son, we know. Stop telling me stupid stuff. And would you get rid of that stupid cane? You're not hurt anymore.
And did you notice there's a third person in there? There's a henchman that looks like Eddie Vedder.
Yeah.
Oh, you're talking. You know who you're
talking about?
Yeah, that's the guy from. He's from the Gladiator movie.
I'm going hungry.
He's the Gladiator friend, and he was. He was also in this. The last four seasons, maybe all the seasons of the motorcycle gang show. What was that on FX?
Sons of Anarchy.
Sons of Anarchy.
Yeah, he's in that as well. Scarface guy. He's great. I love that
Tommy
guy.
Tommy Flanagan.
Yeah, Tommy Flanagan. Hey, what are you doing over there?
Tommy Flanagan.
Well, for the purposes of this movie, he was Eddie Vedder. And right. I got the feeling they had a character in the script and they just kind of wiped most of it out because he wasn't necessary.
No, they didn't even let him talk. Right, the only reason I liked him in it is because I recognized him from those other things and I find him fascinating to look at. I don't know how he got that scar. I've never read up on it, but it's a beaut. I mean, that thing is a beast.
Yeah. Yeah,
I think Randy kind of nailed what I liked about this movie, and it's all and they're lame for the most part, but it's all the little clever exchanges. They're all kind of light and airy. They don't take themselves too serious, but you also can feel a bit of danger in them because there was a lot of kind of clever discussions. Even the first time I really seen text message discussions, which was this Nokia. Placed phone they had in there that Nokia spent like $1.2 million for that stupid thing, but it was even their exchanges like, "Hey, fly, don't buzz off," and it's lame, but it's fun. And
that was fun. I'm not the baker. Well, don't make me the butcher.
Right. Clever text message emoji. LOL. Emoji.
LOL. Thumbs up.
Lulz. My favorite hidden thing in the film.
Nokia did.
Go ahead. No, go ahead. What Nokia?
No, I was going to say Nokia did their that was like their Nokia 9000 communicator. I had to look it up because I was interested in that phone. I was like, is that a satellite phone? Was it the first text message kind of phone? This was 96.
Well, like 96, 97. I think that was probably some pretty hot tech. I'll bet that was like the business, man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like it
the expensive phone nobody could afford.
And everything.
Yeah. And Nokia was like the oh my gosh, remember how big they were, how important Nokia was back then? It was huge.
Yeah.
A monster.
Now well, Scott, you hated Val Kilmer as the old balding scientist. What was your favorite disguise persona of his?
No, I liked that one. I thought that was all right. I didn't like the one in the airport where he was trying to act all metro, you know, a European.
Oh yeah.
I also didn't like his Fabio thing in the plane talking to the stewardess. That was terrible.
By the way, stewardess was Emily Mortimer.
Who's she?
I noticed that. First time I've ever noticed that.
Wait, who is she?
Emily Mortimer. She was in that newsroom thing with on HBO for a while.
Oh, right.
Oh yeah, the
Shutter Island.
All right, that's ringing a bell now. That's a small role for her to, well, I mean, that was a long time ago, I guess.
So, and I think it's super, super, I think it's one of her first non-TV roles. Right. Yeah. She did Ghost in the Darkness with Val Kilmer the year before, and then did this.
It's just,
and recently she did one called 10,000 Saints. Was that like the follow-up?
That's the sequel.
Great. The sequel. They're all called Thomas More. And I really didn't like his artist Thomas More character. I really didn't like most of them. And the Australian one just made me laugh because it was bad and his mustache made it worse. And that was dumb. So to answer your question, Randy, I think the only one I liked was the old guy at the thing with the buck teeth.
Well,
and stuff.
My favorite is when he impersonates Rade Serbeggia to his face.
Actually, that was pretty good.
That was a good.
Yeah. I love that because he does this mirror image thing when they first sit down next to each other.
Who are you?
Yeah.
You're me.
Also, I hate it. I both loved and hated it because, come on. Yeah. You know that's not you.
They do that. That's almost tropey at this point because they do that in Mission Impossible several times.
They do it in lots of things, but it's the same old, like it's the Marx Brothers looking in the mirror and the one Marx Brother doesn't talk. And like acting like he doesn't really know on the Lucy show. It's like bullshit.
I'm glad you brought up the Marx Brothers because they kind of set a standard for a lot of physical comedy, and movies like this are still paying homage to things like mainly Harpo.
Yeah, pretty much just Harpo. Yeah.
but like if even if you watch a movie like Copacabana, the Marx Brothers were inventing stuff, and you can't you know, you can't find anything new under the sun. This movie, as long as it doesn't, like, step on its own feet, which I have a feeling Scott feels like it did, yeah. I'm fine with it.
It stepped on my feet a lot, too, which was kind of a problem. Okay, so my favorite bit...
I'll put the shoe on the other foot.
One of my favorite bits in the movie, I'm sure they didn't mean to do this. I don't know how this ended up in there, but there's a scene in the Russian square when the crowd's getting all worked up and he's telling them, you know, you need to fight for me and, you know, Mother Russia returned to its former glory and all that. Somebody's holding up a rally sign that says, Rally, Ku Klux Klan, Knights Klan Day, no. Alabama and Georgia, October 13th, 1997. So someone is now, it's in there. I wish I'd have gotten the timestamp.
Really?
Yeah. And there's a bunch. So when I thought I was going crazy, I started looking it up. And in the IMDb comments, there's a bunch of threads about it too. But there's the sign from like a KKK rally in 97 that someone must have snuck in there with. Yeah.
Oh yeah. Look at that.
Huh. Yeah.
KKK poster.
Isn't that weird?
I didn't catch that at all.
Super weird.
That is really weird.
Yeah. It's supposed to be Russia.
You know what else go ahead.
To think it got past a final edit, that's remarkable. Because, you know,
right.
A film editors will sit and look at every single scene. They'll spend a month looking at every single frame of a film.
Mm-hmm.
And the fact that it made it to the transfer to Netflix is even more amazing.
Well, I don't know if they care that much. I think they just, sometimes those guys just push it through, especially The Saint. Nobody's sitting around going, oh, we better fix The Saint. If it's like, you know, Michael J. Fox's penis flopped out in one of the Back to the Future, they'll look at it, you know. But yeah.
Oh, Lenny Kravitz, thank you.
Right.
Yeah, that thing.
Hey man, was that the thing that bothered me in this movie? And you know, I mostly had a good time, but I kind of stopped for a moment and said, why is the sewer/water main/gas piping so darn convenient? Everything was in that one tube that he needed. Whenever he needed it, it was like, oh, here's a gas main. Look at that. Perfect. We always run our gas mains.
If nothing else, you'd think it had better security. Because if he and she can just get in there so easily, anybody can.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
No, I agree. I got a trope for you. How about this one? The resistance lady living in the sewers who knows everything about whatever. And they always look like a little French resistance lady in there.
Right. And I'd like to point out. They have this great hideout in the sewers. And instead of just saying, well, let's hide in the sewer until everybody runs by and then, you know, we'll wait for things to die down, then we can sneak out. No, they just said, no, now is a really good time. While they're really close, let's go splashing around in the sewer so that they can chase us.
Yep. And act like it doesn't smell like hell.
They had to move at that moment because there was going to be a flood. But the Westerner resistance is another part of that trope I'm talking about, where the West saves the East. Like, what in the world? Why did anybody think that character needed to be in this movie is beyond me.
Well, it's not beyond me.
You know, Russian scientists can never figure out anything. Russian scientists always suck because they're always under duress.
Well, they always are just
except
fired
Western movies.
Yeah, for sure.
You got to grant it this movie. This one, you know, this is the point of my greeting. This one Russian scientist is apparently God and has the ability in 30 minutes or less when under pressure to put this thing together and make it work. Holy cow.
Oh, that was loud. What the hell was that? Everyone all right?
What'd you do?
Cold Fusion just did it.
Was that you, Dunaway?
Thank you. Well done.
It was.
What was it?
It was Cold Fusion. He just told you. I tried to launch it right during the episode.
It came out. I was watching the names and Brian Dunaway's thing blinked really loud during that beat.
Headphones. Yeah. My headphones got wrapped around my leg, and I moved, and it went yoink.
Oh,
and
wow!
And I got a lot of feedback.
Sorry, people at home. I hope you enjoyed that.
you got to edit that out. You got to edit that out.
No,
leave that in.
I'm keeping
that
in. Are you kidding?
Okay.
Oh yeah.
I can't wait for the complaint.
It's live to hard drive, baby. I got two things to say that really bugged me. The medication was way too big of a pain in the ass. It almost got people killed like 15 times. So the medication, her need for it, dumping it in the water, like you all suck. With the medication.
Yeah.
The second,
it almost got Val Kilmer a BJ.
It almost did. You're not, so I was hoping I wasn't the only one that noticed the double entendre there.
Right. Yeah.
I guess.
Here, grab it out of my hand, which is conveniently
next to my unit.
Now,
the other thing I didn't like was the dial-up connection he was on in his Mac freaking PowerBook 7 or whatever the hell it was in that hotel room.
Oh, yes,
you cannot triangulate and do what they did to get him that way. That's not how the internet worked in 97. It still doesn't work that way now. That doesn't work that way. Ugh, right. I hate it.
Right. Now, really quickly, back to the heart thing, because I couldn't figure out. So she, when she's in the embassy, she's talking about, oh, I haven't needed a pill since. Is that, did they ever explain what the deal was? Like, did he magically cure her of her?
No, maybe it was supposed to be another miracle or some BS like that.
Okay, I couldn't. That was the heart medication in the bucket.
Condition. Right. Did she have a heart condition or was she having like panic attacks?
Brian calling it the heart condition in the bucket is all I really need from now on. That is amazing. No, you know, in a way, there was that and whether she's the girl from the orphanage or those things are definitely, they definitely did some hinting whether or not, you know, Randy may be completely right. She's never meant to be that girl, but they sure messed around with it. You know what I mean? And then, and the same thing with that medication.
Read a summary of the movie. The girl dies at the first scene. That's it.
Well, yeah, but who writes those summaries? You're talking about like an IMDb.
People who watch the
and
movie.
Spoiler, in my greeting from my introduction of my movie, I'm going to spoil the whole movie for you by telling you this, the lady who died at the end. You don't do that.
Yeah.
Is that how you explain Sixth Sense?
Yeah.
Sixth Sense starts with man dies at beginning and pretends whole time. Yeah. He's dead.
Yes.
So anyway,
pretends whole time.
The funny "I haven't needed a pill in a little while" line is just a device. It's a crappy one, and it's to get her to separate from her handler in the embassy and go fill out a form so she can get medication. And when she does that, is when Val Kilmer snatches her again and insists that she not get on the plane. That's all that is.
That's all. Oh, that's so lame.
Yeah.
I need more meaning.
It's lame.
Right.
Lame. You could have stopped it. It's lame, and I would have been good with it.
Speaking of.
I'm not going to argue with Randy. I'm not going to argue with somebody who's seen this movie 30 times.
Yeah.
Randy wins.
Right. Speaking of lame, did you notice how many times water almost kills Val Kilmer?
Yeah. He's allergic to water in this movie. He's like, it's like GTA 3. That guy couldn't touch water. He'd die immediately.
Water is his snakes. Water. Why did it have to be water?
Yeah.
It washes off my disguise.
Yeah. He was impervious to almost all other kinds of threats except for when water was involved. Which is very weird. That's fine. That's not even a problem. But finding somebody on their dial-up connection through triangulating freaking street address bullshit is enough for me to want to like never watch.
You realize, right, that a dial-up is using a telephone, right?
Yes, but they don't.
How movie sequences have found people forever.
They don't have a big map with a bunch of little points of light and being able to go, oh, he's coming from this, whatever. It's not like tracing a phone call. It's different. And if you're a spy guy, you are totally proxying anyway. You're not using the standard shit. There's no way he's connected to some local, welcome to Earthlink Russia edition. Log on today.
This is a trope that's in every spy movie going back to the 50s.
Man, I don't like those either. Well, I don't know about the 50s. Anytime they do internet stuff is what I'm talking about. Phone stuff I get. You can track down someone on the phone. That's something you can do. But if you're a spy and you're using the internet
they implying that the Nokia 9000 communicator could do anything and that it was that's what he was communicating through?
Well, he was on his laptop at the time he got caught though. Remember, and he blew it up and
I don't think he was Nokia tethered? I don't think so.
I don't think they have that. Did they have that in 97? I don't know. We didn't even have Windows 98 yet. Think of that. Like we were a year away from Windows.
I was really confused between the computers they would show the actors sitting at and then the close-up they would show the computers because the screen seemed like it was always different than the actual computers that the actors were sitting at.
Well, he had a PowerBook and the operating system was something fake. It wasn't real. It didn't look like the old OS 9 or whatever they had at the time.
My favorite trope in all of that computer stuff is when encryption and decryption happens with a visual flare.
Yes.
Oh, I love that.
It all goes pixely. It's so good. I love that too.
Why don't all of our devices? Imagine if you turned on your iPad and every single icon on the screen appeared one at a time. Yeah. Why don't that happen?
Well, even better, like his scan of those photos or of those notes, the screen got all blurry and then it came together into the words encrypted picture and then it folded into a little graphical envelope and then went off. amazing.
Didn't you love his digital camera with the floppy disk drive built into it?
Yes.
Oh, yeah, right.
Those were the days, dude.
Love me some technology. Movie tech.
Company I worked for around that time had one of those. It was a great big Olympus, I want to say. It had. It was not even like, I think 480p was the maximum sort of, you couldn't even call it a megapixel.
Mine was made by Sony, and I want to call it a Mavica, but I don't think that was right.
And it had a 3.5-inch floppy?
Yes, and I carried around... I carried around 24 of them in my camera bag because each disc would hold like 4 to 6 pictures.
Yeah.
Right.
It was a very different, rapidly changing time. And those cameras were like $3,000 or something at the time. It was insane. What a weird time for digital photography.
Don't tell anybody that.
All right. Not a word. Let's get to some clips. Wasteful. Let's get to some clips from this movie. It did have them, it turns out. And that's okay, because, you know, there's a few goodies in this group of terrible things. Here's one about the priest, and he's kind of a dick.
All the girls will remain locked in their dormitory, and no food will be served to any boy until you acknowledge your namesake.
All right, so locking the girls up, but they get to eat. Boys just can't eat.
Right.
I don't understand.
And they have to look at the food in the cage.
By the way,
really good looking food, like not gruel or anything, real good looking food.
Oh, lots of fruits, fresh fruits in that thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it looked all right. I've never seen such a thing.
Apparently, this children's home was in like Fiji or something.
Because it's really very tropical. Yes.
All the tropical fruit in there. It's so funny. It's when you're binging on something else and then you'll watch a movie for FilmSack and you kind of interpolate the two by accident. I'm doing that a lot, and it's kind of weird because I'm watching Narcos on Netflix, and I'm at like season one, episode like 10 or 9, and it's all about drug trafficking based on real stories, Pablo Escobar, all that stuff. And a lot of it is in all Spanish subtitles and spent in the Escobar home or around his henchmen or when he was in prison. And anything in this movie that was supposed to be like a serious look at like a crime boss in Russia felt like a ridiculous cartoon because Narcos is going like the whole other way. Like it's super realistic, very violent. These awful things these guys used to do. And that may have hurt my chances of liking The Saint this time because
we've talked about this so many times. Mm-hmm. You either put a movie in its proper place in time or you compare it to something that's 20 years newer, and it's just, what are you going to do? Like, you can't help that you're watching that right now.
Yeah, and it's not like I'm going out of my way to compare them. It's just my brain doesn't care. My brain's like, we're going to, remember when Pablo beat the guy with a stick? Boy, sure wish the guy with a cane would use the cane to beat somebody up. Like,
he actually used the cane. I kept waiting for, like, him to pull a sword out of the cane at some point.
Never happened.
Like, it was, you know, hiding a knife or something.
No, that's where it's a secondary. It's a secondary storage device for cocaine when the watch isn't around.
Right. Yeah, you watch him dump it all out of his watch when he went to get the door.
Real weird. And how did it stay in that nice little pile in his watch and not get shifted? It was.
It's a smartwatch.
Weird scene.
It's a smartwatch. Yeah.
here's
some bad kid acting. I always like to capture that when I can. So here's that.
When they catch you, they'll cane you.
Won't happen. Because we're leaving tonight, this hardy brotherhood, on a crusade. That's why I risk everything, Agnes, my love, to bid you farewell.
Ugh.
Oh, man.
I'll have you know, it's better just hearing it and not seeing it.
Yeah. It's really bad kid acting. Just real bad. Mm-hmm. Go watch anything with the Fannings in it, and you'll wash that out of your head real quick. Because this is terrible. I love this. What do you call her? A nun's running through the place, and she yells this, and I just had to get it.
We've lost some girls.
We've lost some girls.
We've lost some girls.
Not all the girls, just some girls.
What?
It sounds like Jane McGonigal to me. It sounds like, and I mean the character, not that you're going to develop.
Yeah. Let's hear it again.
We've lost some girls.
Oh, very much so, yeah.
Well, yeah.
Professor McGonagall right there. Here's some book talk.
But why do you all listen to me rave? Set aside my oil company. Forget about my best-selling book.
Okay. Forget about those things. It sounds like...
Why would anybody ever say that?
I don't know.
Forget about my best-selling steaks.
That's
forget
right.
about my
okay.
university.
You yeah. got it. You nailed it.
Low energy. Not a fan. Nice. Here's live. I wrote live TV piss, but I don't remember what that is. So here it is.
You'd prefer the little son to piss his pants on live TV?
Oh, piss your pants. And there's some bad audio editing in there, by the way.
Yeah.
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 Movies so many times they put two layers together that don't work.
Here's Brian Ibbett's favorite part with the Australian Val Kilmer. Here you go.
If I give this to you, you're going to give it to your daddy.
I'm
going to give it to your daddy.
And then he goes on to say,
think of the drugs you could buy with that much cake.
That much cake. I like that. I'm going to start using cake as a euphemism for money. I like it.
That's right. Sounds good. You're going to serve it on some silver platters?
Well, like my wife will come home today and say, oh, I got more mulch for the garden. How much cake did you lay down on that? I'll say. And she'll say, shut up.
And she'll say, are you Australian?
Yeah. Man? She'll say, get out of here. Go do something. All right, here, I wrote, what does he say? Because I'm not sure I got what he said, so you guys can help me decipher it. Here you go.
Suck me sideways.
Does he say, suck me sideways?
Yes.
But that's not a phrase. That isn't a phrase. The other one is, I'm not going to say it, but the other one is, but that's not. Is that just, okay, Dunaway, is that your PG, keep your PG-13 rating? Is that the deal? Just keep
right.
Okay.
Right. They wanted to use it, and then they was like, no, better not. We better do this other word that sounds like the other word.
All right. How about they just not say it? It's stupid.
Someone Google the phrase, in quotes, suck me sideways, and find out how many hits you get.
I'll turn a safe search off.
Yeah.
Please.
All right. First results. Oh.
I'd like to know what Google finishes, if there's like a...
All right. Well,
recommended.
Here's, listen to this here. Yeah, it's some song. I don't know what that is.
Okay,
that's weird.
That was really annoying. It's got a picture
Urban
of Jimmy.
Says it's yeah. a, but it's a response song to an unexpected Saint. Turn of events.
Oh,
it does answer the question that Scott asked. Who says that? With that reggae rapper guy.
Yeah, what's his face? From Dumb and Dumber says it too.
Oh, that's why his photos on that video I just clicked. Okay, that makes sense. Let's see.
Jim Carrey is the what's his face to which I'm referring.
So here's the used in a sentence according to Urban Dictionary. Well, suck me sideways. Gentry made a shot during our church ball game.
That is awesome.
Yeah. The submitter of that is Tyler Durden, which is also funny.
Oh.
In its own dumb way. All right.
You are your Urban Dictionary contributions. Yeah.
All right, here's the what's this? Oh, talking my voice? Anyway.
Hey Lou, the microchip arrived. I put the dough in your Swiss account.
Sorry to get back to you about that diamond thing, but Moscow's like Dodge City right now. All them greedy commies have turned into crazy capitalists. It's disgusting. It's made them sloppy.
Oh, not my. NY, New York.
Don't listen to him, Gloria.
He's lying.
He's lying. Noice. You guys ever... Is there anything more... is there any physical... Is there any visual element that says I could care less than someone eating an apple in a movie?
That's pretty... Yeah, it's pretty aggressive.
Yep.
Right.
Yeah.
Was that a callback to the fruit from the orphanage?
It is.
Oh my god.
Oh, look at all these.
Now I can eat all the fruit I want, old priest.
Oh, it's the apple. It's the apple in the bucket. Apple in the bucket.
I would say eating an apple while talking to someone, like putting them off, is kind of, it's up there with, like, I don't know, scratching your testicles while talking to someone. Like,
it really is.
It's really aggressive and offensive for some reason.
Yes, don't scratch.
You know what I'm doing this scene here? I'm going to eat an apple.
Yeah.
I could care less what you're saying.
Yeah, that's totally it. Here's your, what's this? Another dumb voice I wrote.
Who are you?
My name is Bruno Hautenfaust. I was named for a saint who was a very wealthy man. Cut the vines, the women, the songs, the whole bit, and then inexplicably took a vow of poverty and became a hermit.
All right, I don't like that one.
No. I just
Blau Hottenfast.
Hello, was ist dies?
I just realized that so much Sacha Baron Cohen is preceded by this movie.
My wife. All right, we're going to do this one about fusion. This is how fusion works. It's 30 seconds, tuck in.
Can you explain the actual process of fusion? You know, the theory.
Yes. Oh, there it is. This is the apparatus. And very simply, when positively charged deuterons are attracted to the palladium cathode, they cram together, and there are millions and millions of them inside the cathode, getting closer and closer, and then they fuse.
Yep, that's it. That's it. It's that simple, guys. That's why we don't have cold fusion.
You don't have enough deuterons.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, I studied chemistry in college. I worked as a professional chemist for a couple of years out of college before I got the hell out of that. And I would have written that so differently.
Mm.
Like, she's written as a mystic. Like, she's not only a genius with the chemistry who's discovered the way to, you know, to get this to work, but she's also really enchanted by it.
Mm.
And that's just it's so unnecessary. I don't understand why this character goes this way.
Yeah, it's like what's her name Third Rock, the character name that what's her name plays. Jeez, my brain's not working today.
You're talking Liz Lemon.
Liz Lemon. It's like she's like Liz Lemon in this movie. Her personality. Wow. I mean, so she's smart, yes, she knows this cold fusion stuff, yes, but otherwise she's just a little bit goofy around dudes. She doesn't kind of know how to handle her love life. She gets completely suckered in by fake people. She's got to stop every 3 minutes and take a pill. There's just something about her that's sort of Liz Lemonish and doesn't match brilliant scientist.
She's too many tropes.
Yeah.
She's millions and millions of tropes all cramming together on a cathode.
But to her credit, she's a great actress.
Creating cold fusion.
And she made it work for me enough. Like, that's a big credit to her. She's great. I like her. More of her, please. Baby Adventures in Babysitting Part 2 or whatever. We should get that.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
Leaving Las Vegas again.
There you go. Definitely leaving this time after the colon.
Yeah.
These voices. Here's more.
Are you an artist?
Just a traveler searching for purity. Ugh. What do you search for?
Energy.
Yes. Have you ever been on a long journey?
No, not really.
Perhaps I'll take it to my home.
Perhaps I'll take it to my home.
How did she get from wherever she grew up to Oxford if she's never been on a long journey?
Exactly. Lots of little baby steps.
Yeah. She's like from LA, flew across, you know, the country to New York, got on another plane. That's a long journey.
She's Forrest Gump. She walked to Oxford. Wait, that would be a long journey. I don't understand.
Yeah, that's thank you for pointing that out.
I've never been on an airplane before.
Here's some Russian bull crap.
Because now that the people are nicely beginning to freeze, Tretiak must sweep in from the wings with a miracle to save them.
All right. That's great. Appreciate that.
The villain always over-explains his plot.
Yep. You have to. I'm okay with that. It's the rest of the movie I don't like. All right, same villain.
You see, we believe they're all the same villain.
Oh, that's just him saying that. All right, great.
Mm.
Here's a great use of the SOB phrase.
Son of the bitch.
Because he says son of the bitch. Son of the bitch.
I love that.
Not son of a, but like there's one.
Son of the bitch.
Son of the bitch.
Yep. Son of the bitch. Okay, you guys have to help me here. Does he say his name? Do they say his name is Toilet? Listen very carefully. All right. Here you go.
Don't fret. It's just my curator. Toilet.
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 It's Toilet, I think.
Quickly.
Toilet.
Quickly.
Toilet.
Curate something.
Yeah, curate something. Toilet.
Toilet.
All right, great. Here's the thing she says.
Are those maps of the tunnels?
Yes.
Yes. But give me your watch first, and then we will go. Some dubbed Russians.
Plus or minus.
Plus or minus?
I mean several minutes earlier or late.
Don't worry. Third opening is under your embassy.
Okay, great. That's good. I love it when people are in sewers and no one acts like it stinks. That's one of my favorite things, too.
I wonder who watched it with the subtitles on?
Not me.
Not me.
Not me.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
Do you do that every time?
Carry on. No, it's just this is one of those movies where they fly by with a lot of dialogue with heavy accenting, and you just if you have the subtitles on, you're going to understand it better.
That's true. Back off from the gate, says the American.
Back off! I said back off!
Yeah. Don't come near my gate. I thought the theme was very Bond-like. I did not like it. I think it's fine, but it's Bondy, and here's how you know. That is some Bondy-ass music.
Mm-hmm.
Don't you think?
Right.
It's like James Bond may as well walk out.
Right out of the theme, yeah.
Brian Ibbett's prom date sent me a sound clip. This is Brian Ibbett's prom date from when he tried to take her home early on prom. And this was her response.
I thought we'd drink some vodka to get warmer.
There you go.
Oh, nice.
Vodka.
Vodka. To get warmer.
Warmer. Warmer with vodka. Vodka. Here's overdubbing.
Give me chastity and give me constancy, but do not give it yet.
What does that mean exactly?
Oh, that's so funny.
Yeah, but what does it mean? Give me chastity or constancy. What does it mean?
It means that he wants his soul saved. He wants to go to heaven, but he doesn't want to do the work yet. He wants to play.
Okay, so I thought it meant, you know, when people lose their ability to control when they poo? What's that called?
Incontinence.
Incontinency.
Yeah, incontinency. Give me incontinency or chastity, but don't give me both or whatever. I thought that's what he was saying.
That actually works. Give me incontinence, but don't give it to me yet.
All right. I don't know what this is.
Mr. President, I'm your friend. What do you want?
Oh, he's his friend. That's what it was. He's a friend of the president.
Yeah. Oh, okay. You just broke in here with guns, you know, people shooting at you, but I'll trust you. Sure.
Sure.
I love that guy, that actor, and the way he plays that role. I wish there was more to that role.
I wish there was more to the ending, because that's dumb. He went in there with guns blazing, said, don't worry, I'm an American, you can trust me. And that's enough? Like, that's mm-hmm. not enough. And to say, go up there and admit to everything that you know isn't true. Why? That's lying. Just trust me. Why? You're not even a representative of the government. You're not even like a soldier. You're just a dude.
Yeah.
There's a coup going on. He really doesn't have a choice. It's either he's going to get killed or trust this guy. You know, like, you may as well trust the guy. Everything's falling down.
Well, here's some good advice.
I don't do anything normal.
Great. Oh, and I got the Roger Moore part. Here's that.
Donations totaling $3 billion were made today to the Red Cross, the Salvation Army, and the United Nations Children's Fund. The funds were wired from the account of jailed Russian tycoon Ivan Tretiak. In other philanthropic news, a non-profit research foundation has been established to develop cold fusion technology.
Geez, way to wrap it up there, buddy.
Is that a Hollywood ending? I can't even play the trope alert.
I even sound bored reading this.
but I have a
Has
theory.
Has there ever been...
Go ahead. No, you go ahead.
Theory.
Okay, you want to hear my theory? Here's my theory.
I want to hear theory.
I have a theory that if this was handled more like a British thing, and the main actor wasn't Val Kilmer, but a British actor, take anyone. Ewan McGregor or freaking... Who's the guy I think is super hot and I'm not gay? What's his name?
Clive Owen.
Daniel Craig.
Any of these guys. Have them be this character and have it be a little bit more of a British spin on everything. That is to, you know, a little bit goofy, a little bit self-aware, like all of that stuff. I think it's a better movie if you do that. And I forgive more of its sense.
You get people who are saying it's riding on Bond's coattails, because if you do make it more British, people are going to say, oh, it's just a ripoff of James Bond, even though it's based on different source material.
That's true. That's true. You're not wrong. And that's probably why they went the way they went. But it would make me like
all action movies, this one hoped to be the beginning of a series, and you can't make a series start that's so. I mean, obviously you can't make this series start either. It did not have any sequels, but you know, you don't want to do that so close to home with James Bond.
Well, supposedly he quit, or he bowed out of being Batman again so he could do this, and that leads me to think he thought maybe he had a franchise on his hands.
You know. Everyone making a movie that's an action movie hopes they're going to make 7 of them.
Yeah. Well, not this one. Not this one.
Speaking of, casting news for Fast and Furious Part 8.
Oh, yeah. You got your Charlize Theron.
That's right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. She'll be a bad lady in it. Supposedly she's the evil one.
A bag lady?
Bad what? Lady. Yes, she's going to be an extra, just a bag lady. She shows up just to go, what's going on? And then takes her cats and leaves. Right,
and the cars go flying by and her buggy gets knocked over.
Hey, I'd watch
I'll get
it.
Get your kids.
I'd watch it. That'd be all right. All right, that's it for your stuff there. It's the Film Sack Checklist, super shitty computer tech, check. Russian hitmen that are way too cool, check. And Russian rat races, check.
Yes. Oh, yeah.
Oh, they had rat races.
To make a comment about the rat race. I'm going to be leaving this rat race.
Yeah, that was great. So good. All right. Star Trek stuff, according to Daryl, nothing. Now, sometimes Randy will find one, but he couldn't find any Star Trek connections at all.
For the 15th time, Scott, tell me before the show.
Yeah. You know what's funny is yesterday while I'm watching the movie, Randy's going to tell me to tell him before the show if I don't tell him before the show, and I still forgot. So I actually remembered that you would not like it if I didn't tell you. So, yeah, no Star Trek that we know of. We'll look and see if there's something in the meantime. The soundtrack grade, I give it OKTBGO for OK theme, but garbage otherwise. I don't think it's that great. I know you think it's great.
Score. I think Randy would definitely rate the score higher. I actually really like the soundtrack stuff, the Sneaker Pimps and Chemical Brothers and Underworld. And
mm-hmm. What's Sneaker Pimps up to now? Are they still doing stuff?
Duran Duran. I don't know.
Sneaker Pimps?
This is one of the only songs I know by the Sneaker Pimps, if not the only song I know by the Sneaker Pimps.
Let's look them up. Sneaker Pimps. They are currently...
You just like saying Sneaker Pimps. Sneaker Pimps.
I do.
Sneaker Pimps.
They have an album. Their last album was 2005 and was called The Mix You Miss Website. That's weird. And then I think they broke up. I think that's it. No more Sneaker Pimps. They said, how's the song go? Lay me down, something around. You got
the Six Underground.
Yeah. They're forgettable lyrics. I don't think of them.
It is the title of the song.
Yes. Let's get to the Twitter post. This is where you guys sum it up in 140 characters or less, unless you're Randy who says, screw that rule. It's Randy Jordan.
The Saint, a sexy ingenue scientist with a trillion-dollar invention, is the only thing that could make this super spy question... Hold on, let me start over. Dear Penthouse, a sexy ingenue scientist...
Uh-oh, he unpushed a talk.
I never thought I'd be writing a letter to you.
Yeah, I can't believe this happened to me.
Never thought it would happen to me.
Yeah, exactly. Next up, Brian Dunaway.
The Saint... Like sketching a statue in the cold, cold, dank. Wait, is that marble experience and shrinkage? Miracle number four.
Oh yeah, that part. I don't like close-ups
those meat and veg.
Yeah.
In between that statue's legs.
Meat and veg.
That's why he's only drawing the top half.
I've not heard the meat and veg reference in a very long time. Thank you for that. Let's round it up once again with Brian Ibbett.
The Saint, you'll need the patience of one to sit through this film.
Yes, indeed. Straight to the point, plenty of characters left for a rad hashtag.
Exactly. I passed my extra characters over to Randy.
Yeah, good job.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, it's very nice of you. I'm also told that this movie had two alternative titles. Ooh, here they are right here. How about a little magic and plate of money at the Russian rat racing bar? Or... I always like a plate of money. It's the most inexplicable use of, like, we're rich and have tons of it and throw it away. What else can we do besides show a bunch of hookers, strippers, and drugs? I know. How about a plate of the money? Let's bring out a plate of money. Then finally, how many times is that heart medication going to almost kill us? That's the other title. Emails. We got an email from Catherine Snyder, ripped from recent episodes, and says this, listening to the Aeon Flux episode of Film Sack, and you guys are talking about how Martin Kaskus, however you say his name, and discussing his role as an elf lord in Lord of the Rings.
Oh, Sarkis, or yeah.
However you say it. He says, and you confused his character with Craig Parker's character. I only call you out on it because Craig Parker is wonderful and doesn't get enough praise. He was the initial antagonist in the Star Wars Spartacus series, and he is the bad guy in Legend of the Seeker. He has done a lot of other bit parts throughout his career and is endlessly watchable and always compelling, even when he is in things that are otherwise crap. Thanks for your time. You guys are great. Keep up the good work, Catherine. So I still don't know that we confused him, though. Are you telling me that Martin Costas, or how you say it, Caucus,
Zakas,
is not in Lord of the Rings? I was sure he was.
He is.
Well, she's saying
we're confusing the character he plays.
Oh, yeah. Well, she says you confuse his character with Craig Parker's character. I don't think so. I think we think it's the guy we think it is. It's the one that they meet in the... So the way it first works is in when they go to see the Elf Queen, they get stopped in the forest by a couple of... A bunch of people shooting arrows, or pointing arrows at them. They're all elves. And I almost said Lord Aron. Anyway, they all... And then they say, well, you know, where are you going or whatever? And the one guy, the one elf who speaks is... this Martin guy, and she's saying no, it's Craig Parker playing that character. So right. maybe I have it wrong.
What I'm thinking. Is that not right?
Well, let's see. Craig,
I think she might be right. Craig Parker is the one who does that.
So either Craig that or Parker is Hal Deer.
Yeah,
right.
It's kind of a rounder faced.
And Martin
and by the way, I looked this up. It's Choka, Martin Choka.
Oh, okay. That's how it's pronounced? You. Okay.
Yes.
Oh. Who is from New Zealand, by the way. He was also in Lord of the Rings, and his character was Celeborn.
So he's Galadriel's husband.
Okay, that's the guy I'm thinking of, though. Yep. That's the character So I still think he's the guy I'm thinking of. I think the other guy is someone else.
Oh, yay, we get to all be right.
Yeah, okay. We're all right. Everyone's right. Everyone gets a trophy. Everyone gets a trophy. So Catherine, I'm pretty sure I'm looking at photos of him right now in his elf getup. That is exactly who I thought I was talking about, but maybe I'm maybe I'm confusing the scenes or something.
Movies, the Lord of the Ring movies go out of their way to remind you that these people are all like twinsies, like all of the elves are hard to tell apart.
Yeah, that's kind of their thing, isn't it? They're all supposed to, I mean, they all look like the Pie Maker who was in the new ones. He was great, man.
Love the Pie Maker.
Final email says this. This is from, here it is. Did I get a name? I did. Chuck. He says, in recent episode, you guys said you were going to be sacking Blade Runner soon. Please hurry before it leaves Netflix and disappears like tears in the rain. It might be my favorite movie of all time. I saw it when it was at a drive-in when it came out in 82 with Unless Memory Fails, either Escape from New York or Heavy Metal. It was a mind-blowing evening. Both of those should be sacked as well. The show you did on Eraser is one of the best you've ever done and also one of the best you've done without really talking about the movie. Keep up the great work. Yeah, love the show, Chuck.
Good news, Chuck.
Yeah.
Next week, we're going to sack Men in Black 2.
Mm-hmm.
And then Blade Runner.
Man, I wish it was the other way around because I hate Men in Black 2. But you know what? I'll do it. I'll take the bullet. It's fine. It's not the good one. First one's great. Third one's kind of okay. Second one, as I recall, was a blight. It was a rough film. But I'll watch it.
Right. Oh, I recall hating it so much that I've never seen the whole movie. I went to Men in Black 2 and then switched screen.
Yeah, it had problems.
But what about the postal scene where they're all... aliens. That one's,
I'll let you know
scene.
Next week. I'll watch it a couple times.
Yeah, Randy watches all his movies two or three times. How many times you watch The Saint this week?
Two.
You're insane. You're an insane person. I don't know how you did it. That is just crazy that you've done that. All right, we're going to do that next week then. So you got your Men in Black 2, then Blade Runner. It will surely hang around long enough for us to do that. And that's it. That's all we got, everybody. Come on back for that. The emails come to us at filmsack@gmail.com. Don't forget to visit us at filmsack.com. Find us voicemail-wise, too, 801-471-0462, and on Twitter at filmsack. That's going to do it for us, for me, for Brian, and for Randy. We'll see you next time.
Meat and veg.
Nice. Good choice. This show is part of the Frog Pants Network. Get more at frogpants.com. Well.